Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Well, welcome to the Phil Henry Show. It is Wednesday night. Is it Wednesday night? It's Wednesday night, and here we are at the El Pacifico with Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and Margaret Gray on a radio show where truth is our bitch, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're here till 1 on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Watch our live streaming video every night. Hear our podcast the next day. You can listen to the audio on the video cast. People are always asking, where do you stream the show? Well, we stream it on our website. And over the weekend, just as an aside here.
Don't get too sidetracked, Phil, with all this business stuff.
Yeah, it's a pretty good story, though.
I know this story. You talk to a man.
Well, you know, a lot of people haven't heard it, Margaret, so just, you know, keep your blouse on.
Keep my blouse. You wish. You wish.
That you keep your blouse on? Yeah.
I'm going to kick...
Hey! Right off the bat, huh?
When he cracks wise like that, all bets are off. You wish I took my blouse.
No, I don't. No, I do not wish that. Not because I think you're frightening to look at naked. I don't know. I wouldn't know. You know,
just keep on digging the hole as deep as you can. Because when I'm done with him, you're next.
What is it with you?
Yeah, I was going to say, you look like I got an attitude or something.
I've got no attitude. I don't take... See, a lot of women will sit and take it from men. And I've listened down through the years, I've listened to these radio shows, where the little miss is doing her news and her weather, and the guys are making fun of her tight dress, and they're talking about her breasts. And I've listened to that, and I, as I've listened to those kinds of shows...
Well, give me an example of a show where they humiliate... And I know there are shows like that.
Well, I don't think he's egregious, but I think Howard Stern and some of the way he's talked to Robin over the years...
He's got a lot of respect for her.
Yes, except when it comes to her breasts. Then, again, here is that phrase, all bets are off. But a lot of... You know the shows. I'm not going to go into it. That's Skippy and Frank.
All right, Skippy and Frank, yeah.
And as I sit and listen to those shows, the fantasies begin. The fantasies of gasoline fires. I know... You know, Phil...
Oh, God.
No, hold on for a minute.
You're going to start a gasoline fire.
Hold on for a minute. I'm simply saying these are fantasies.
What is the fantasy?
The fantasy is the fantasy any woman would have when she hears a woman being humiliated. That I would walk by that studio with a can, 5-gallon can of gasoline with a rag in it, light it, and then penny the door shut so that... Well,
Mr. Gray, that is very sadistic. And very bad, and
it is pretty gruesome.
Is it really? Maybe it scares you because you're men, and now you know what you're up against.
Yeah, but you, what do you mean penny the door?
I mean, that is about as gruesome as it gets. Pennying the door is you put pennies in the door jamb in such a way so as you're not able to open it. You're telling me you'd light a 5-gallon can of gasoline?
Yes, and I would even sacrifice the woman who I'm defending in order to cook. No.
Boy, this is the time of the show when I would like to get Frank on the air.
Well, I don't want to talk to Frank right now.
Fine, but this is the time of the show when I would like to call him up and I'd say, Frank, have you ever heard Margaret?
Don't pretend like it's weird. A lot of women think these things, Phil. We're sick of it. We're sick of it. Oh, look at, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Henry's rolling his eyeballs like I'm weird.
You're the one that said when you walk by a radio studio...
I know what I said.
You walk by a radio studio, and you hear a woman being treated in a sexist manner, and you want to stick a 5-gallon can.
What I said was, may I help you there, Mr. Magoo?
Mr. Magoo!
Go ahead.
Never mind.
Yeah, you don't want to say it again, because it sounds so creepy and gruesome, they might send a man with a butterfly net to get you.
What butterfly net?
Send somebody from the state hospital to take you and put you in a ward.
There isn't a butterfly net that's been made yet. It's not going to happen. There's nothing I'm saying that's crazy.
Then they'd come down here with a butterfly net.
No, they will not come with a butterfly. Would you tell him to stop saying that?
Well, I think he's expressing something that a lot of people believe. You're talking about sticking a rag in a 5-gallon can of gasoline, lighting it, throwing it into a radio studio, and then pinning the door shut so that even the woman who you were defending the sexist behavior... You know, who you were who the sexist behavior...
That a sexist behavior was being defended against.
No, you moron times two. It was the sexist behavior...
The woman... You'd kill everybody.
Yes. Yes. If it meant that I could get to the ones that were the main agent provocateur or the agent provocateur, yes. 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 Now I feel better.
Good. Just ignore that because I don't know whether or not we're going to have arrests made tonight. That was about the creepiest thing.
You know, Phil, you're a man. There are a lot of women out there who have to put up with this behavior that know exactly what I'm talking about.
All right, fine. Welcome anyway to the show, PhilHenryShow.com, PhilHenryShow.com. Get a backstage pass. Join us, won't you please? Bobby Dooley. We were with Bobby today at LEG on the west side of Los Angeles as she was interviewing Zane Lamprey. Zane, a very funny guy, stand-up comic, as well as a television host. He is now involved in something called a Kickstarter. You guys know what this is?
Yeah, a Kickstarter is raising money.
Exactly.
What is it?
A Kickstarter is a project that a celebrity or a producer will go to the public or go to his fan base and say, we need money for our project. And what you do is you essentially sell them either a share in it or you're selling them maybe even a scene. I got approached on this basis by, I won't mention any names, but I finally figured it out. And I realized that I was being courted to, they wanted to use me as a promotional vehicle. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not complaining. I didn't particularly want to do that, so I sort of stepped away from it. But I recognize now the reason why they offered me a part in the movie is to...
They wanted to use your name to promote the film.
Yes.
Well, I don't blame you. I think that's insulting.
No, that's the way it's being done now. Although, they're going to give you a fringe part so you don't screw their movie up, maybe. I don't know what it was, but...
Yeah, you've been in an actor.
Yeah, you've been an actor.
What do you mean I've been in an actor?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you was an actor.
I was an actor, yeah. I've been in one.
Well, that don't mean it's gay.
It does sound gay.
Either way, so I recognize that these Kickstarters, and they're gaining ground in terms of popularity, in terms of their utility, their usefulness to people that want to get things done. The new economy, ladies and gentlemen, when I first heard these phrases like there's a new economy or that the workforce is changing or the landscape is changing, when I first heard these things being said around, say, 1990, the late 80s, it was hard to take them seriously because you didn't really see anything happening. But this particular recession has finally kicked all those changes in, for better or for worse. I've never seen myself as a positive or optimistic guy. I've always been kind of a realist. I do my fair share of belly aching and bitching and moaning. But in point of fact, I think I am, because every time I run up against something that is difficult, I always try to see, well, where's the advantage here? And even with this economy that has really kicked a lot of people's asses, there are areas where you can make yourself a dollar. There's areas of opportunity. We're having some meetings on Friday in terms of producing animation. If this was 5, 6, 7 years ago, we'd be going to a big studio and we'd be pitching them and we'd be hoping that they'd give us money so they'd make an animated pilot and then maybe we could go on the TV with it, you know. But
well, don't start sounding like you're... See, now they're going to be listening and they think you're some kind of a smartass.
Yeah, but Sandy, you don't want to... Don't jinx it out of the gate.
Yeah, don't want to be prejudiced. Well, I don't mean about black or anything.
No, I don't.
Yeah, that's nice of you guys to say that. No, I'm just, what are you talking about? I'm going over with some ideas, and we're going to do this as, we're going to self-produce and self, whatever you do with yourself, which don't answer that. So that's the new economy. And this Kickstarter, that's what Zane Lamprey's doing with a new movie called, or a new TV show rather, called Chug. Zane's thing is booze. Now, I know that everybody's thing is booze from one standpoint or another, but his thing is booze in terms of an entertainment vehicle. He does television shows, he does movies, he does appearances based on alcohol. And he has and what we're talking about here, folks, obviously is a connoisseur's approach to alcohol. It's not a, you know, we're not, it would be funny, well, maybe not that funny, but it would sort of be funny if you had a show about booze and you spent most of your time on Skid Row drinking, you know, reinforced, or what's it called?
No, it's called, it's called reinforced wine.
Yeah, no, it's called fortified.
Fortified wine. That's kind of an old joke, and it's kind of sad because those guys are alcoholics. So what we do, I'd like to watch Zane do a show about very polished alcoholics, like maybe he's in a cigar room someplace or someone's living room, and everybody there has a serious, serious problem. All right.
Come on, Miss Zane.
I'm joking around, Zane. You know that I am. You know that we... Anyway, Zane and Bobby had a time of it today.
Now, that's a two-parter, right?
How'd you know?
Because I heard from her, and she said it didn't go well, the first part.
It did not. It did not.
What happened?
They didn't hit it off. They did not hit it off. Zane's all about business. Bobby's not too bright. She asked a lot of stupid questions. He wasn't digging it. And so I said to Zane, I said, look, Zane, how about coming back for a two-parter? And Bobby looked at me like, how dare you? And I said, I'm sorry, but, you know, I think this man deserves better. And that's when Steve stepped in. And I said, Steve, why don't you take your hands and stick them back in your pocket, man, where they, you know, there's, you know.
Oh, the joy hole, yeah.
Well, I said, because, Steve, don't stand there with your hands out of your pockets. Otherwise, you're going to be tempted to ball them into fists, and then you'll want to swing on me. And I said, that's not going to work too good in your favor.
Outstanding.
Yay!
Cut. All right, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Princess Kate. Some no good, low down, crawling, tail dragging cur took a picture of her with her top off. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the top. We'll talk about what's underneath it. We'll talk about her some more. We'll talk about her husband. We'll go back to her top, go back to what's underneath it. We'll talk about the photographer, then back to her breasts again. You watch, man. We'll turn it into a whole 3 hours. Phil Henry Show. We'll be
Truth
right back.
Is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Said.
Really? You should just have a belch alert.
Don't tempt me.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, buddy, you printing the Gutenberg Bible? What are you doing?
Push the button. It's got too many of it.
What is that noise?
You put the phone on hold, okay? Who you got there?
What?
Who's on the phone?
Little Ian.
Okay, good. Now, what? The printer is still going.
I know. I pushed a button and then it printed.
I know it prints. I told you to... you got to tell the printer.
I did.
Yeah, instead it goes, hey, printer, only print one.
Oh, you got to be putting me on. You didn't stand at the printer and talk to it.
I thought it was voice activated.
Get out of here.
Phil, I am serious. Either you get a CAT scan for him, or you get me some drugs, or something.
No, I'm not getting you any drugs. Bud, you're just... quit being lazy. That's his problem, okay? Look at this. Look at all of this paper, man. Nothing makes me angrier. Hey, I just want you guys to know over there at the Inquisitor, I'm throwing away all of this stuff about the comments and ads and all that crap. It's going right into the garbage because I can't take it any longer. All right, Kate Middleton, as you know, recently elected. She's
not elected.
No, I know. She was married Prince...
Prince William. Good God.
Well, excuse me.
You're not supposed to know what it is, everybody in America.
I think it shows a little bit of breeding if we know what the mother country is doing and the royalty.
All right, I know. You know what? The thing about royalty that I think is so funny is, it, like everything else, it's used by people to establish their, excuse my use of this term, their peeing ground or their pissing ground, as it is more crudely referred to. Everyone will use, royalty is one of those defining topics where you let people know whether you're cool or not, or whether you're working class or not, or whether you're a snob or not, and so forth. Now, most people will say that royalty, even British royalty, which is probably the single most benign and democratically friendly monarchy in the history of the world, even people will take shots at it. And maybe that's a part of our heritage as Americans, and maybe it's now, because we complain about everything. I don't know there's anything we don't bitch about. So the royalty is, who cares, you know? Oh, you got better things to do than the royalty? Same thing with the Pope, you know? Oh, now I'm going to take time with the Pope? And I want to say to this people, who the hell is holding a gun to your head, man, to be watching what's going on with the Pope? What is there something else you need to know about? Yeah, I hope they were covering the thing and there's a vote and everything. Well, go look for the vote there, man. There's like 9 million TV stations, 85 million places you go find news. Go look for the news on whatever the vote is that you're interested in, okay? There's a lot of people interested in the Pope. I don't know why people are interested in British. I was.
You know, that was something that I thought was, I saw you sitting and watching the wedding.
Yeah, I know. It looked kind of weird.
And you too, bud.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were, man. I saw you sitting there going, oh, wow. Like, you know, had big eyes, like you want to be in that dress.
Get out of here!
Yeah, it looked like you did want to try on her skirt.
Maybe I wanted to be in her dress, but not in the way that you're saying.
You're a dirty, filthy animal. All right, that's all I'm going to do now. I'm not going to attack him. I'm not going after him with my high heel. That'll come later. That'll be after the show, out in the parking lot.
Bring it.
Did you just hear what I said?
Bring it.
All right.
Bring it.
I'll bring it.
Bring it.
I'll give it.
Hey! God!
Don't challenge me, bud.
You want to bring the heat, man.
Hey, do you guys want to go ahead and go out in the parking lot right now and get it done?
I'm on.
No.
Good answer.
God! Unreal, you two people!
Bring it. Hey, bring it.
I'm talking. I don't need him butting in.
In any event, so, Bud, you were watching the wedding with me, so don't give me this crap like it wasn't interesting, okay? Three people responsible for publishing the topless Kate Middleton photos last year... What the hell happened to this, you jackass?
Oh, something wrong with it. Looks like somebody wiped their you-know-what with it.
Give me that. Anyway, they could face charges. Forgive me, folks. We'll get to that story in just a moment here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I was all set to deliver the goods to you. However, we've got to. Here's a story, though, that's, well, it's one of those, you know, investigation discovery things. You know, it happened, and then they find out, you know, later on who the bad guy is. In 2009, Jonathan Wayne Broyhill served as the best man at Jamie Kirk Hahn. And see what I'm saying here? We've got a problem with the printer, you moron.
What?
See this thing here?
Let me see that. Why, you jackass.
I didn't know it's there.
You've got to close those windows up, man, or it's going to print like that. That's two stories. Kidnapped baby sold on Facebook. A businessman in India...
Well, that's real class. So I was going to hear about Kate Middleton. I was going to hear about a guy that stabbed the bride of the friend. And now I got to hear about a kid getting shopped on Facebook by what?
It's a child that was going to... A man in India.
Oh, real class.
Well, I'm so sorry. Take it up with your main man over here.
Not my main man.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Close the windows out, bud. I keep telling you. Standing over that freaking printer. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry for... A businessman in India was recently caught as he attempted to buy a stolen baby on Facebook. Bud Dickman, age 19...
What?
I'm kidding. A businessman in India was recently caught as he attempted to buy a stolen baby on Facebook. Where's little Ian, by the way?
On hold.
Get him up on line three. Hey, Ian. Hey, Ian?
Right.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Sammy. I hope you're doing well.
We're doing fine. The only problem is... The Kate Middleton story we have to reprint.
Right, okay, well, I'm here if you want to kick it about or whatever. I'm not going to a place right now.
Okay, good, because we do want to talk to you in just a second about that, all right?
Right.
Okay.
Hey, you owe me money.
No, I don't owe you no money, mate.
You owe me money on Barclay Premier.
No, I don't owe you no money, mate, on Barclay Premier. That's the name of the league. It's not the name of a team.
What's the team?
Manchester United. You're so stupid.
All right, just hold on, will you?
He owes me money.
Who did you bet on?
Barclay Premier.
That's the name of the league.
What's Manchester United?
You want to go over this again? It's a team. That's the team that won.
Who'd he bet on?
Manchester United.
Then he won.
He won. And you bet on the league because you thought that was the name of a team?
That's what he told me.
Bud, you are an idiot. Oh, no wonder he thinks he's... And he ain't no Einstein. We'll be back, folks. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 877... Oh, no. Are we breaking yet? Not yet? Okay. I'm telling you, I'm going to flip my lid with one of you guys, or all of you here, very, very soon. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. God.
Hey, no.
No, you don't know.
You're a Brooklyn Premier as a team. That's the name of the league. God, you're stupid.
You're stupid.
How can I be stupid? I won the bet.
Phil Hendry.
Yes, I figured it out. I got it. Well, here's what I did, is I just decided not to print the story. We're just going to read it. Three people responsible for publishing the topless Kate Middleton photos last year could soon face breach of privacy charges.
They can't do that. It's constitution.
What? What are you talking about?
It's freedom of the press.
They don't got no constitution over there. That's England.
Yeah, but they still got freedom.
Yes, they can do whatever they... She's a member of the royal family. I'm sure the laws are different. And besides, no, the laws are not different. This is the same here in the United States. You can't stick a freaking camera lens in someone's bedroom window or wherever she was. There is a thing called reasonable expectation of privacy. A reasonable expectation of privacy. You know what that is?
Yeah, it's when you want to be private.
Yes, but where is it? And I don't even know the answer to that because it keeps changing.
No, it doesn't keep changing. If you're in your home... You have a reasonable expectation of privacy. If you're in your bedroom, you have a reasonable expectation of privacy. All right? If you're out on a city street, you do not have a reasonable expectation of privacy. If you're standing there in the middle of Times Square, you do not have a reasonable expectation of privacy. No court, unless, of course, it has something to do with, for instance, an upskirt photograph, you know, where you're standing there, you're a female, you're standing there, and a guy comes along.
Yeah, like with a patent leather shoe and he's got a mirror on it. Ow.
Watch it. So.
Well, so if I'm standing in Times Square and I'm wearing. Well, can I say something without these two laughing?
Go ahead.
There are certain days, the ladies know what I mean, when it's very hot and you go to Times Square. I said.
Bud, shut up.
And you go to Times Square and you're not wearing underwear.
Okay.
Do I have a reasonable expectation of privacy, or is that an entree to woo a man somewhere around Bud's age with a camera belted or electrically taped to a shoe?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about what a lot of these guys, like Bud, and ones that are even more degenerate, some of the things they cook up.
Well, have you seen this?
I don't want to make a comment.
Have guys come up to you?
I'm not going to make a comment. I'm just saying, is it a reasonable expectation of privacy that I have?
I would think so, yes.
When I'm standing there and a man walks up with black electrical tape wrapped around a camera that's on his shoe.
No, so you saw this?
I'm not saying that.
Well, Margaret, it's very specific. It sounds like somebody did that.
Have I said that?
No, you haven't said it.
You're just saying a guy comes up with a tape and it's wrapped around a shoe.
I didn't say tape was wrapped around a shoe, you lummox. I said it was wrapped around a camera that was wrapped around a shoe.
When?
Oh, but none of your business.
Got a call from Mr. Gray.
No, don't take the call, Frank. Don't.
Okay, I want to hear this. Frank Gray is on the line?
Yeah.
Okay, Frank, how you doing, man? What's up?
Hey, how you doing, young man?
Good, how are you?
I'm better than Custer. Margaret, you know full well that was me, and that was an experiment. For the Bill Iglesias film.
Why did you have to call in and... It wasn't important.
Phil, I've got to tell you.
It was not important, Frank.
Well, what's wrong with me telling Phil that I was the guy with the...
First of all, it was not important for you to let Phil know that you were helping Hank Iglesias with his film. And that I was one...
So you walked out into Times Square...
I'll finish the thought because I'm her husband and I should be allowed to say, and I just called her because I'm so angry sometimes I get the gender right.
That's pretty good, Mr. Gray.
Yeah, well, whatever. Now, I was out in Times Square with her Now, that's how pissed off I am. I'm getting your gender right, aren't I?
I didn't know that you even knew you had gender confusion.
But see, when I get angry, it all comes back to me. The syphilis, who gave it to me, what the ailment is, everything. That's how angry I am, hearing you argue and lie to Mr. Henry. You were standing there. You were a member of the cast, not wearing underwear. I walked up with a camera with black electrical tape on my shoe. Someone said, and action. And that's when I just kind of stood there talking to you with my shoe inching ever, you know, underneath your, just between your legs. And
okay, all right. So this was, in other words, a porn movie.
No, it was not. It was an art film.
It was an art. You've never heard of Hank Iglesias?
No, I haven't.
Well, she's one of the best directors. Oh, look at that. I just butchered up my gender, but I am aware that I did it. So the syphilis hasn't kicked in that much.
Well, maybe those new therapies are working.
Well, therapies. She's talking about pills.
They're called therapies now, Frank.
Well, I'm calling them pills.
The doctor calls them...
I'm calling them pills. And that doctor, that quack that I went to, that guy's a witch doctor. Okay? She's a witch doctor. And I'm not saying this is a racist, Phil. I'm not saying anything bad about the shaman priests or the animist religions of Africa or anywhere else in the world. But the guy that I went to is nothing more than a shaman voodoo witch doctor. She might as well have a bone right through the nose. In fact, when I walked in there, I half expected to smell jungle, and I said, you know, all you need to do is get a parrot out front that goes, like that. And she says to me, oh, smartass again, huh, Gray? I said, you bet. I said, when are you going to cure me and stop squatting around a fire and saying, when's that going to happen? And he said, I've never done anything like that. I said, well, you're lying now. I said, you lie just like my wife. He lies all the time, and you do too.
Well, it sounds like he's butchering his gender.
What's that?
Yes, I guess he's back to his normal bad brain set or something. What did the doctor do for you, Frank?
The doctor hasn't done anything. I told you. I just got done telling you. She is a primitive devil doctor. Did you ever see Black Robe, Phil?
I did. One of my favorite movies.
All right. Remember the witch doctor in that film was a midget? This, I swear to God, remember it was a little...
Yes, the witch doctor of the tribe that the Black Robe folks was a...
Oh, he's got to tell the whole movie now, Frank. Why did you do that?
Oh, go ahead, Phil. I'll tell it. This film, Black Robe, is about the Jesuit priests that went up and civilized, if you want to use that word, the Indians of the Huron and Iroquois nation.
What?
Who said that?
I did, Mr. Gray.
The Huron, H-U-R-O-N, and the Iroquois, I-R...
You don't have to spell that one.
All right, and the Mohawk.
Yeah, I heard about a Mohawk. Gal run around with her hair all mohawked up.
I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know what the Mohawk did. But in any event...
Well, that's where the Mohawk hairdo comes from.
It's not a hairdo, Margaret. It's not a hairdo. It is a warrior's... It's the hair... It's the way the head looks on the warrior up in the Mohawk area. I don't know. So in any event, the Jesuit priest goes up into the Mohawk region, and the Jesuit priest is going to settle these... You know how they do it, right?
Yeah, he's bringing Christianity.
There you go. So in any event, the priest gets out of the canoe, and there she is, standing there, looking at all these Indians for all the world. And she's thinking, boy, I'm in it now, man. Boy, I'm right up to it. And there ain't no turning back, because in those days, what did you do? Get back in the canoe and go back down the river to the nice, safe fort where the French... I don't know. But in any event, the priest meets these Indians. Well, there's one that thinks this priest is straight out of the jaws of hell, and no way is this little tiny witch doctor going to let this priest get a leg up on him.
Was that a female?
Yes, it was a female. What I just get done telling you. God almighty.
Well, you know, it's the gender confusion.
Okay, but he lost it.
So anyway...
So this witch doctor, this female witch doctor, was also a little person.
Yes, what they used to call a dwarf, that they don't... So get a load of that. So they're Mohawks. They're in America. This guy's a Frenchman. He hasn't been... Well, he's in big trouble. He's standing there under the wilderness of the North American continent. It's 16-something or other. There's no Montreal. There ain't nothing. There ain't nothing but loneliness and a midget. There's loneliness and a midget in war paint. Now, does it get much worse? I don't think so. I called up Bob.
Okay, thanks very much, Frank.
Well, you did, but you understand.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
What is that? What is that about? Well, Frank was calling up about the... I don't know what he was calling up about.
Yeah, I don't either. I forgot all about Frank calling up. All right, so here are some guys in England who are facing breach of privacy charges. According to news.au, which is an Australian news site, Ernesto Mari, the chief executive of the Amondanon Group, which publishes Closer magazine, has been placed under formal investigation for breach of privacy. La Provence newspaper's general director, Mark Aubertine, as well as his photographer, Valerie Sau, have also, what?
Are they natives? She sounds like she's got a native name. It sounds, Valerie Sau, is this some kind of a gossip magazine from a...
Yeah, like South Africa or so in the tribal region?
No, it's not a gossip magazine from a tribal region. The woman's name is French.
Well.
La Provence, a regional daily paper.
Yeah, see there, regional.
France! La Provence, a regional daily paper, said it is being unfairly lumped in with Closer magazine. The paper said in a statement today that it did not publish topless photos of Kate Middleton. The magazine did admit, however, to taking pictures of the Duchess in her bikini. Is that bad?
Yeah, I'm not supposed to take a picture of the Duke or the Duchess or anyone, like an Earl.
I can't take a picture of a... Well, an Earl is a guy. You can't take an Earl like the Earl.
Yeah?
You can't take him pantless.
What do you mean you can't take the Earl pantless?
If the guy's an Earl.
You're talking about royalty. Is that right, bud?
Well, yeah, but not the king. I mean, the king, if you took a picture of him pantless, would be probably the death penalty.
Yeah, uh-huh. What else do you know about it?
Well, if you think you know so much.
First of all, bud, I don't think it matters if it's pantless or not.
Maybe he's talking about just an Earl.
Yeah, I just mean an Earl.
What do you mean, just an Earl? Are you saying that the prince, he can go around pantless?
No, I didn't say he can go around. Yeah, he can go around pantless. You could probably take a picture.
Why would it be all right to take a picture of the Earl?
I didn't say that.
You know what? You're an idiot. First of all, the Earl and the Prince and the Duke and whatever the hell else you want to call them, man, all of these cats are members of royalty, and you can't take a picture of them with their pants off.
What do you know?
Because I'm listening to my good friend Bud. You said Earl, so I'm going to have to say...
Monroe.
Yeah, Earl Monroe. What do you mean, Monroe? Earl is the guy who is royalty.
What do they call a female of that?
That's like a,
Well, then Earl, it's the Earl and the, Earline.
Earline?
I hope, you know, you'll pay. One of these days you'll pay for the racism.
Oh, yeah? Earl and Earline. That's the... What do you call a female Earl?
I don't know. I'm just trying to tell you.
Duke of Earl. The only thing I know is that song, Duke of Earl.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Duke of Earl.
No, it ain't called Duke of Earl. There's a duke, there's a duchess, okay? There's a prince, and there's a princess. There's a king, there's a queen, there's an earl, and a...
Earline.
Not Earline. Don't be a smartass.
I don't know what it is.
Well, it'd have to be something that is like Earl-like.
Yeah, it'd have to be Earl-like. Boy, this show, man. God, you know what? Anybody tuning in, they must think they're overhearing this week's, you know, roundtable of people who've suffered, you know... running their heads into goalposts or something, because we don't make any sense. We just don't make any sense. Earl something. So the point is, it was a breach of privacy law, and it was something that was that they're going to prosecute. And there's more to tell in this story, but we'll be back to tell it because we have to take a break because we're running late because we were talking about Earl and Earline. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth bye-bye, little Ian.
Is our bitch.
Hey,
the
Ian,
Phil
you there?
Henry Show.
Oh, I'm right here. I just tell you about Earline. Like a female?
Female Earl.
On a female.
The world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Now, I got little Ian Anderson with us from Del Mar, California. Ian is a British subject. He works here in the United States in the horse racing business. Ian, what do you do?
Mostly I do a lot of hot walking, and I do assistant training for a couple of three of the trainers that work at Del Mar. We do a sort of a cycle of Del Mar, and then we in Hollywood Park and Santa Anita.
Saturday. So that's kind of in Southern California. That's where the horse racing is, right?
Right. And
do you ever do the quarter horses, Ian? Because we've come to be familiar with those. Don Berman likes those.
I'm not familiar with quarter horse. Done some training on occasion on the harness races and that kind of thing. But I'm not all that familiar with a quarter horse.
All right. Now tell us about in your home country of the United Kingdom of England. What's an earl and?
Well, it's royally, right? It's all it is royally, and they've got a lot of different types of royalty, don't they? They've got like a king, which is like the highest one.
Yeah, we know all about that.
Maybe I don't think you know nothing, mate. I don't think there's anything you really know.
All right, hold on. I'm not going to have you button in on this, okay? So just be quiet.
Right. So it's like a king, and there's a queen. And, you know, it's like he was saying, you know, about that. But there's also, like, prince.
Right, and princess.
Prince and princess. And they've got, like, duchess, or I should say they've got duke and duchess.
And dukes, are they princes, or?
Well, it's like it's a royal title that they bestow upon a member of the royal family. If you're Duke of Windsor, right? Well, because you're not the king, like you're the Duke of Windsor, because you're not the king, see? They've got a queen, or like Prince Philip. You see, Prince Philip, he's like a prince, right? But he's not the king, see?
So they give these titles in lieu of...
What's that mean?
Oh, I'm sorry, Ian, they give these titles instead of...
Right, they'll give a title to Prince Philip, because he's not the king. And I say, well, you can't be king. He'll say, well, why can't I be king? Because you're not the king, right? It's not going to happen. You're not, it's rubbish. If you be king, you're not even, Prince Philip is not even from England. He's from Greece. So I say, you'll have to be a prince. And then they have like a duke or duchess. It's the same thing. They'll say, I want to be king. And they say, you're not going to be the king. You'll never be king. You're not even qualified to be king. And they'll like embarrass the royal family. And they'll go out and have prostitutes or drink too much or drive their car, you know, into a lake or something like that. And you'll say, well, okay, we'll make you a duchess, right?
You're going to make a guy a duchess?
Well, not a guy, but...
That's what you said.
Well, you know, at least I know a little bit about what I'm talking about, mate. But most of the stuff you talk about, you talk right out of your ass, right?
So, all right, hold on, bud. What did I tell you, man?
Yeah, well, he's talking out of his butt.
No, you're talking right out of your ass, but not me. You.
All right, hold on. So they'll give these titles to the members of the royal family, you say, when they drink too much?
Well, a lot of times they'll embarrass them.
Right, a lot of times these members of the royal family are an embarrassment, right, to all the English people and also to the royal family. And you say, well, that bloke, he's just... He's a drinker. He's an alcoholic. He uses like drugs, and he's like goes with women, right? He's like with prostitutes, right? And he says, "Well, I think that we'll give him a title, and he'll be happy, and he won't go with prostitutes or anything like that."
Okay. Now it says here, an earl has the title earl of when the title originates from a place name, or earl when the title comes from a surname. In either case, he's referred to as Lord and his wife as Lady.
Right. Well, he's a Lord of a Lord, like Lord Mountbatten was also Earl Mountbatten, right? Or they say she's a Lady.
Yeah, but that were...
Shut up.
He tell you to shut up, mate. Are you always still talking?
You can't tell me.
I'm telling you. I'm going to kick you out of here.
Yeah, right. He's like a Lady is like a Lady, but she's... More than a lady, it's a capital L lady.
No, I know that. And then the Lord, but that's the same thing as an earl.
Right, it's the same thing as an earl.
Why are we even talking to him about this? He's no... You're on the lower... I don't mean anything by this, Ian, but you're working class.
Right, so? It doesn't mean that I can't represent my country. It doesn't mean I can't be a proper gentleman. If you ask me questions about my country, I could... represent my country in a proper way.
No, you're absolutely right. We're not trying to... Margaret, why would you say that?
Well, it's not like you've been around ladies and dukes.
I worked for a man 2 years ago. I was training horses for him, and he was like a lady, well, he might have been a lady because of a sex change operation had flourished. It had flourished in that part of the city, and so it might have been a sex change operation. What he could have had, and he would have been a lady.
Wait a minute. Did this guy have a sex change operation?
No, but there was an epidemic of it, right in this part of town.
What part of town?
It's like Richmond Park. It was about South London.
There was an epidemic of sex change operations.
Right.
What an idiot.
You're an idiot.
All right, hold. Okay, listen, Ian, I'm going to let you go, man.
Right. I just want to say that the epidemic of sex change operations was like in that part of town, because it's mostly large manors, was probably only three gentlemen who had their sex change, right? But it's not a gentleman I worked for. The gentleman I worked for was a lord.
I had to cut him off. All right.
Guy's an idiot, and you're telling me to shut up.
When I'm talking to him, I'm talking to him. When I'm talking to you, I'll talk to you. God. Thank you very much, Ian, for that epidemic of sex change operations in Richmond Park. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
I think you went on too long with him because he doesn't have...
Phil Henry. Shores of El Pacifico. Phil Henry.
Why are we looking at a taxi?
I don't know.
Somebody was asking something. We started looking at the TV show Taxi. Oh, we wanted to know who the female was. It was Mary Lou Henner. Apparently she's got, Dan was telling me that she has some ability.
Well, it's not an ability. Don't start making her sound like she's a superwoman.
Well, it's pretty impressive. She remembers every detail. If you ask her, where did you meet so-and-so? She can tell you where. She can tell you what he was wearing. She can tell you the time of day. She can tell you the weather. She can tell you what street they were on. She's one of these people.
Like a photographic memory.
It's not really a photographic memory. It's more than that. It's way more than that. People with photographic memories have to be thinking about it. I think they have to be concentrating on what it is they're reading. But this woman, Mary Lou Henner, and I didn't know this about her, she has this ability to recall details of days or events when asked. So she might not even have been necessarily focusing or concentrating on it, but her brain, biochemically, however you want to say it.
Well, is her brain bigger than most people?
No, her brain isn't bigger than most. Is her brain bigger?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of mapping has been done of individuals like this, although I'm sure somewhere along the line they either gave her a CAT scan or they put her on the electrodes and read her EEG or something because, doctors, researchers, they're always looking into stuff like that. Oh, this guy? Wow. Do you mind if you come down to the lab so we can...
I wouldn't want to do that.
Why not?
If you had an ability and you go down to the lab...
Well, I'm going to find out what the ability you got.
Don't you want them to know what you can do?
Well, Bud's afraid they're going to take his brain out and put it into a jar. Bud, they've already done that, darling. They've already done that.
Shut up!
No, you shut up.
All right, hold on. What are you afraid of?
Because you go down there and they'll want to put an electrode on it.
So what if they put an electrode on it? They put an electrode on your brain, it'll power what? What do you figure it'll power? One of those little tiny fans?
In any event, Bud, they ain't going to do nothing, man, other than they register an EEG as just looking at brain waves.
You ever had one?
Yeah, I've had an EEG. I had one when I went to a sleep clinic because you guys know I have these sleep issues. And
Phil, you don't have sleep issues. You have these sleep Bibles. You have these large sleep volumes that go on and on and on. And I'm telling you, you better do something about it or you're going to get a brain tumor.
Oh, thank you very much for making me feel better.
All right, you can do that.
You get a brain tumor if you don't sleep?
That's what I heard. That's what happened to that one lady in Scientology.
Yeah, she probably got L. Ron Hubbard. Probably
James Hubbard, man. Don't say Hubbard. He'll put the Scientology goon on you.
Can they do that, Mr. Henry? Put a Scientology goon on me?
What are you asking now?
He butchered up, what's his name?
L. Ron Hubbard.
You call him Hubert.
Yeah, that's right, bud. They'll put a Scientology goon on you because you mispronounced the guy's name. Would you give me a break? What are you asking me, man? What are you asking me? The Scientology zapped that lady so she had a brain tumor? I don't know. I read something where someone in... Look, I don't know if what you're saying is true, if lack of sleep will give you a brain tumor. If it does, then I don't have very long to live. I'll tell you that. But the point that we were trying to make here was simply that, I've had an EEG. I went down to the sleep clinic, UCLA sleep clinic, and they said to me, come on down, Mr. Henry, and make sure that you do not sleep the night before. Don't sleep. Come on in. And what they're hoping for is that because you haven't slept, you'll go immediately to sleep. And then they can then read your brain waves while you're sleeping. Now, the purpose of this is to see if there's any kind of erratic or abnormal electrical activity or abnormal brainwave activity while you're sleeping. You could be having some kind of a seizure. There could be something happening in different parts of the brain that isn't normal. So I went down there, and within about, I asked the doctor later, I said, how long did it take me? He said, about a minute and a half, and you were under. He said, you were at a place, I don't know what they call it, but there's a place where your brain goes where they suddenly say, okay, now let's start reading, because you're at this level of sleep.
Well, isn't it called REM?
What do they call that?
Because...
That's the name of the group.
No, not because of the name of the group. It's what, Phil?
Rapid eye movement.
What?
What's that got to do with it?
Are you guys asking me a question, or are you telling me?
Well, it doesn't make any sense. If you're sleeping, why are your eyeballs moving?
It's not your eyeballs that are moving. It's the fluttering of your lids.
The what are you talking about?
The fluttering of your lids. That's what they call rapid eye movement, and that's when they know you're in a deep sleep.
So in other words, you're in a deep sleep when your eyeballs are moving around.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah, because it means you're dreaming. See? Have you ever been sleeping next to somebody and taking a look at their eyes? You know, with the lids closed?
I did, man. That's weird. You see the eyeball all twitching around and everything.
I've never seen that.
Well, you take a look at someone like your husband or wife, whoever you're sleeping with. Take a look at their eyes. The lids will be closed, and you'll see their eyes just going, woo, woo, you know, darting around.
How can you tell they're darting around? The eyelids are closed.
Because you can see the eyeball moving underneath the lid. That is rapid eye movement. That is the classic dream state, and that's what they wanted. So they read my EEG, and they found nothing abnormal other than the fact that I, you know, came in with a licorice and an all-day sucker, and I was wearing big, big, giant bedroom slippers with the heads of like, squirrels on each, and they thought that was strange, but they didn't pick that up in the EEG.
You're kidding, right?
Yes, I'm kidding.
All right, Phil, you don't have to go, yes, I'm kidding.
Well, I am kidding. So, no, they couldn't find anything wrong with me that way.
So what happened? What do you have to do?
The problem with my sleep is very simple. I start thinking too much, and then I start thinking about the thinking, and then I get secondary anxiety. I've learned a couple of tricks to help me sleep. One of them is called paradox thinking. You know what that is?
Uh-oh.
Paradox thinking is simply this. This works for me every time. If you can't sleep, tell yourself that you're going to stay awake. No matter what, you're going to keep your eyes open. Lay there in bed and tell yourself, in other words, the opposite of what you usually tell yourself, which is, I got to go to sleep, I got to go to sleep, I got to go to sleep. What you should do instead is lay there and say, I'm going to keep my eyes open all night. I'm going to keep my eyes open all night. Now, that freaks out a lot of people because they're thinking they will be able to do that. Trust me when I tell you, folks, you won't be able to do it.
So you're faking your own brain out. I don't want to say anything here, Phil, but I'm... What about those of us who are of a higher intelligence?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, there are people that would be able to fake their own brain out because they're...
They're kind of dumb.
Well, they're not as Frank used to say, the sharpest tool in the drawer.
Yo, what? Huh?
In other words, I'm saying some people are that thick that they could fake themselves out.
But because you're really smart...
Yes, I can't put anything over on myself.
You're not trying to put anything over on yourself. It's not even that complicated. All you're doing is saying to yourself, I'm going to stay awake. I'm going to leave my eyes open all night.
I'd be freaked out. I'd do it, man. I can't go to work without sleep.
Of course you can't go to work without sleep. But you're not going to stay awake all night. If you say to yourself, I'm going to leave my eyes open, no matter what, I'm going to keep my eyes open, you watch how hard it is to keep your eyes open. You are gradually going to have to close your eyes, and then the next thing you know, you're going to be asleep. Now, you know, my insomnia has gotten so bad in some cases, I've learned to do entire work days on no sleep.
See, that's a brain tumor waiting to happen.
Thank you very much. You know, I'm going to talk to a doctor before I talk to you clowns about this stuff. I got to fake myself out.
Well, what if you're stupid enough you could fake it out? Then you're going to sleep. If you're too smart to fake yourself out, you're not going to get no sleep.
Yes, you'll get sleep.
How will you get sleep?
Because you're smart enough to know what's... You're smart enough to know that you have insomnia.
Okay.
So?
So, but you're too smart to fake yourself out.
Will you be smart enough? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to be smarter. You'll get a brain tumor. I'll be alive because I'm dumb.
See, only on this show, oh man, only on this show do we get that. I'll be smart enough because I got a brain tumor and I'll be alive because I'm dumb. Only here, man, and nowhere else do you get stuff like that. Yes, David, what's up?
Oh, you know it was me.
Yeah, you were calling in on your line and we were just talking about something so idiotic you had to call.
Well, I wanted to find out what... These two are talking about being so stupid that they're staying awake and they get a brain tumor so they're smart.
We're talking about a sleep problem.
Your sleep problem?
Yes.
Well, what is the... I don't understand, because a minute ago, you said you were going to talk about a baby getting sold on Facebook. Isn't that what you were going to say?
We have a story here, yeah.
Because I've been waiting for it, and so has Irene. Now, we've been driving around, and I'm working for a coffee shop because we just went dancing. And
do you do any work at night anymore?
What's that supposed to mean?
Exactly what I asked you. Do you do any work at night anymore?
Why? Why do you ask?
Because every time you call, you're with this new girlfriend. You're either coming from a restaurant, you're coming from dancing, you're coming from this, that, or something else.
Yeah, because I'm getting to know a young lady, because for the first time in my life, in many a moon, I'm a happy man. I'm happy. Okay? I've got a young lady in my life. We're going to go, and we're going to get ourselves a piece of key lime pie. Big deal. Sorry I bothered you.
Well, Phil, why would you make him feel guilty about getting key lime pie?
I had no idea he was going to go get key lime pie. I just wanted to know what he's doing cruising around at night, calling my show and asking me what we're doing when he's out with Irene.
Good night, Irene.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Make sure you get a backstage pass to watch our live streaming video of the show. Each and every day we post a classic podcast online that is downloaded to our BSPs. We also have our daily show podcast. There's something waiting for you when you get up in the morning. There it is. You can listen or not, as the case may be. By the way, today's podcast, episode 152, I think is Jay Santos. Who is it? I forget who it is. We'll find out. But it's funny. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Oh, it is. It's Jay Santos and the Unbridled Ass episode. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, here is a story. That this is one of those bad pieces of misfortune that quickly is turned on its head into fortune, or, if you will, the dark cloud with the silver lining. Now, you remember the story we told you on Monday, and it would have been on Monday, I think, that we told the story of A.J. Clement, and he's a sports anchor at a Bismarck, North Dakota television station, and he made headlines when he dropped the F-bomb during his first television broadcast. And if you saw the tape of this particular moment in the newscast, he was being introduced by the co-anchor, and his mic was live, and the mic was live from the break. So I think I actually even saw them come up from black, and she's about to introduce him, and you hear him say this effing S-G-S, something like that. And he's saying it under his breath, but nonetheless, it's very, very clear as day. The mic is, like I said, it's a hot mic, and even his co-anchor, when she began to introduce him, she wasn't sure whether that was actually heard, but she could tell, you could tell, by her reaction to what was happening on the set. She went from smiling to she looked as if she'd seen, you know, Frankenstein coming to the door. And here he is, and she looked over the guy, and he introduced himself, but you knew the damage had been done. Well, what happened was that this man's he made the top 10 list on the Letterman show, and he was the butt of the joke at that particular moment. But he's going to get a shot at redemption because tonight he's been on The Late Show with David Letterman.
That was tonight.
That was tonight. Clement was nervous before his first broadcast as a news anchor. He didn't realize that his microphone was on. He let out a couple of curse words as the camera rolled, and a few hours later, he lost his job. Now, in most cases, the story would end with a long and tedious job hunt as he tries to redeem himself. But this is America, the land where 15 minutes of fame can turn into international stardom and a reality TV career. So Clement hasn't received any reality TV show offers yet, but he has been offered an invitation to sit on the chair next to Letterman, and that would have happened, I think, tonight, or it's about to happen here on the West Coast.
What time is now? 11:20? Yes, David Letterman will be on in exactly...
8 minutes.
Hold on. It's 11:22. What time do you have?
11:22.
No, I mean, what time do you have when he... We'll be on.
11:30.
All right. 11:22 and 11:30.
8 minutes, Mr. Henry already said.
Would you shut up, please?
Margaret, don't tell him to shut up. That's rude.
Would you be quiet, please? Now I've lost my train of thought.
Margaret, now you're starting to sound... You just got done telling us you were so smart that you couldn't fake yourself out using paradox thinking to fall asleep.
What?
Didn't you just say that you were too smart to use the paradox thinking that I use to help me fall asleep?
Phil, I don't even speak whatever mumbo-jumbo.
Yeah, you did. You said you were too smart to fake yourself out.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Yeah, and I am too smart.
Then 11:22 to 11:30 is what?
8 minutes, but it's 11:23 now. Oh,
woo!
Walked right into that one, didn't you?
Yeah, I really got dough. That's you,
Don't be sarcastic.
Let's get over here to Don Berman from Channel 19 News before I flip my lid. And Don is on the line here with us. We're going to talk about A.J. Clement. We're going to talk about the David Letterman shot and those faux pas, which are embarrassing as all get out. And Don, welcome to the show. You're a longtime veteran broadcaster. I imagine you had a couple of those when you were younger, huh?
Well, you know, Phil, you get over them very quickly. I don't know that I ever used any expletive like that, but I did. I do recall, and by the way, I have to remind you, that you said you were going to tell a story about your slip-up on the air last night, and you were reminded of that on your Facebook page, and you told the guy that you would tell it tonight.
You're right. You're right. How did you know that?
Because I read your Facebook post.
Oh, my God. So you didn't have the good... The courtesy to call Don, and he's got to read your Facebook post, and oh, God.
Don, I didn't know.
No, it's all right. I know how I rate.
No, Don, I did not mean to leave you out of the loop. I forgot entirely, and to the gentleman who may be listening.
Odds on he's not listening now. He's not going to be listening to you. I don't think he'll be listening to you, because I think he's probably very insulted. But the point that I'm trying to make is this. Early on in my career...
Well, hold on for just a minute. He's very insulted, huh?
Yeah, you said to him that you'll get to the story tonight, and you didn't. And he's probably long since tuned over to another show. So there's no making it up to him, because if you do it now, he'll think you're trying to lick his, you know...
He's right, Phil.
That's very nice. I'll take that under advisement. And you know what? Now that you guys have made an issue out of it, I'm going to put you on hold, Don.
Well, now, wait a minute, Phil.
I'm going to tell everybody, even if the man's not listening, what it was I was going to tell them last night. So I've just interrupted the Don Berman interview. Way to go, Margaret.
Yeah, way to go, Margaret.
I didn't do it at all.
You chimed in with him. And, Don, if you're on hold still, or maybe you hung up, this one's for you. So last night I told the story that I've never used the F-bomb or anything like that on the air, but the most embarrassed that I ever was... Two times. My very first time that I opened a mic, I froze up. I think I told that story, and I was not able to get a word out. I was so scared, I was so nervous that I opened the mic, and I'll never forget, it was a switch. And it was an old RCA board that we had, and they had these big stand-up switches, and I moved it over to on, and we literally had these round pots, knobs.
Yeah, well, that's... Nobody knows what you're talking about. Get to the good stuff.
Yeah, get to the good stuff.
So anyway, I was frozen in time and I couldn't say anything. The second time was that same job. About 6 months later, I was filling in doing afternoon drive. And they were giving away a grand prize of a contest the radio station had been running. And they said, Phil, you are going to be the one who gives this away, and we want you to make sure you record it so we can use it in a promotional announcement later on in the broadcast day. I said, yes, sir. Well, guess what the grand prize was?
What?
A house.
A big house.
A house. A house. It was a house. And I think the house, we were at 1440 on the dial, and I think the house was worth something like, I don't know, 14,000. In those days, that was a pretty good house, okay? It was a middle-class house, but it was a house. And the contest, though, was not really as good as you would think. Giving away a house, you'd think the guy would say, whoopee, right? The problem was, and they don't make this mistake anymore, you registered for this drawing by just filling something out at a supermarket and sticking it in a box. You didn't have to listen to the station.
Oh, so the people that won may not have listened to the station at all.
And that's exactly what the case was. So when I called this guy up, and I'm on the air. Remember, I'm supposed to be recording this. I'm on the air. I call the guy up and I said, Mr. So-and-so, you've won a house. And the first thing out of the guy's mouth is, who's this? It's such and such radio station. You've won the house and the grand prize. Uh-huh. That's the big reaction that I was supposed to record, but I forgot to record it. So when we went into the commercial break, I screamed out at the top of my lungs with my mic wide open, I didn't record it!
And that went out on the... What a clump... You clumsy...
That's exactly what happened. So, frankly, it's a good thing I didn't record it, because the reaction, this guy couldn't have been more bored or disbelieving. A house, huh? Well, that's really great, thanks. He didn't believe me. And I don't really know when it finally sunk in what his reaction was.
Probably like, went to the bathroom in his pants.
Phil.
Squirrely going on my iPhone tonight. Is everybody getting us on mobile okay tonight? Have there been any? I haven't even gone over to the website to look at any comments, but I know that we're fine. We're being received loud and clear on desktops and everything. I'm just hoping that the mobile feed is working, because we had a tough time getting online tonight, and it had more to do with the connection, the Time Warner connection. And as you know, I'm telling you right now, I'm getting off of Time Warner and on DirecTV by the spring thaw.
What does that mean?
In other words, by fall.
That's not the spring thaw.
I know, but I'm just saying, I'm going to get it before the football season starts, because I've had it, man. So we're going to be, we're definitely going to be rock and roll with that. All right, welcome back to the program here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let me get Don Berman back on the line here, because we're talking about this A.J. Clement kid. And this is a young man who was fired from his job in Bismarck, South Dakota, because he used the F word, the S word. What words did he use, Don?
Well, you know, you can well imagine. I think you accurately remembered it. I think he said something like this effing S and that. I've never used those words, and, you know, you took more time than I anticipated telling your story. And since I'm the guest, I would wonder if you would indulge me and allow me to tell my story now in full.
I think that's only fair, Phil.
Well, that's great, but I wasn't asking your opinion.
How dare you?
He's not asking your opinion.
Well, but Mr. Henry...
You know what? I'm going to run the show the way I'm going to run the show, and I'm sorry, Don, but everybody was giving me a hard time, including you and Margaret, because I didn't tell the story that I was supposed to tell last night, and the guy's probably not listening now, and he's so you blew it, Henry, so I just told my story. So maybe that cuts down on the amount of time that you have.
Really? I didn't know that I was going to be coming on your program tonight. Is this Ass Night?
Ass, I've got to hand it to you. That's a good one.
Ass Night.
What does that mean?
It means that I came on your show on the night it's Ass Night. This is when Phil's an ass. Is that what this night is?
No. This may be Don Gets Hung Up On Night.
Well, that's not as funny. I think Ass Night's funnier.
Well, maybe it is, but there's still maybe Don gets...
Yeah, you lose that one. I win. I win with Ass Night.
Okay, you win with Ass Night. All right, can we get to what we want to talk about?
Yeah, what is that?
We're talking about this kid in South Dakota.
All right. The kid in South Dakota, this A.J. Clement, he let rip with the MF and the S and everything else. If this were 1973, I would say that the kid had a case with either the labor board, with his union, or with some kind of medical disability. But it's not.
Now, why would 73 matter?
Well, I want to be very delicate with this, but I think you'll understand. The young lady that he was a co-anchor with was a young woman, and I want to try to get her name right. It was Phuong Chau. I don't know, but was she not Vietnamese?
What do you mean, Phuong Chau?
I didn't get her name.
Yes, she was a young Vietnamese. She was a Vietnamese-American.
All right, Vietnamese-American. If it's 1973 and my client comes on the air and says, FSMF, you dirty this and that, and he's a Vietnam veteran, then I go to the station and I say, here's how much you're paying me and my client. Otherwise, I drag you into a civil case, the likes of which will make your great-great-great-grandchildren bleed from every hole. Now,
what are you talking about, man?
You don't get it, do you, Phil?
You don't get it, do you?
Don't get what?
The Vietnam War.
Yes. Now...
Oh, you gotta be kidding me, man. You gotta be crazier than that. You gotta be dingier than two coats of paint to come up with one like that.
Oh, really? Were you around then?
Yes, I was.
All right. Then you knew there were a great many young traumatized men. You told me the story, Phil, that you had skyrockets or something in New Orleans, and there was a refugee camp next door, and you lit a skyrocket, and at the last minute... It tilted in the ground and shot right into the refugee camp, and you were worried about it, weren't you? Weren't you?
Yes. I got to tell my audience, you're making it sound, ladies and gentlemen, I lived in New Orleans, Louisiana in 1978. 1/4 of July, we had skyrockets, those little ones that go up in the air.
You mean the ones that go boom?
Yeah, the ones that go boom.
Well, I'm just asking, Phil.
All right. I lit it. And it tilted. It was going to go straight up, and at the last second, it tilted so it would angle off to the left. Well, it just so happened that across this boulevard was a collection of I believe, apartments and different residences that were being used as a resettlement area for Vietnamese refugees and Southeast Asian refugees. So when my skyrocket that was intended to go straight up in the air tilted at the last second and shot into this village... I became concerned that I was maybe scaring the folks, and what I got from my trouble was I was laughed at by everybody who was there.
Well, you have to admit, if you're trying to... That's a great gag, Phil. Why don't you take credit for it?
I wasn't trying to do that. Everybody was standing around laughing, and I said, what do you guys think is so funny? I said, those people probably, you know...
Phil, let me tell you something, Phil. I was in Vietnam, all right? And a little tiny Red Devil skyrocket ain't going to mean... That might as well be a mouse bark to the average Vietnamese. The average person, and God bless those people because they went through hell, but to the average Southeast Asian, you could throw a hand grenade in there and they would probably think a mouse cut one.
I don't believe that.
Oh, well, okay, Mr. War Veteran.
You were a war correspondent that was over there for 6 months, so don't give me your big tales of war.
I'm telling you right now, your little skyrocket, a cricket might as well have just cut the cheese.
A cricket, yeah. Ow.
All right.
All right, so are we done with that?
No, we're not done with that. So in any event, we're A.J. Clement.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about, A.J. Clement. Now, here's a young man that has his very first job in radio, and what does he do? He takes it, and he essentially rubs its face in dung. I feel very strongly about this, Phil.
Yeah, well, you've been feeling strongly about everything tonight, man. You're talking about a mouse fart, cricket farts, a mouse cutting one, a cricket cutting the cheese.
Well, that's just one topic, farts.
No, that was fart.
Would you knuckleheads get back on the...
Yeah, we're burning daylight.
Burning daylight. It's almost midnight. What a jackass. My whole point, Phil, is this. That when we were talking, you wanted me to talk about this A.J. Clementine. Now, this young, or A.J., what's his name? My darling Clementine. I don't know what his name is.
A.J. Clement.
Well, where do I get the Clementine?
You're thinking of the song, My Darling Clementine.
All right. This this young man who started out in news just yesterday, I mean, he's a virtual novice, Phil. You realize that?
Of course.
All right. He comes on the air and he says every vulgar thing you can say. Now, if it was 1973, I could go to the station and say, how dare you put him next to, not that there's anything wrong with the young lady, I don't want her to lose her job, but you don't take a Vietnam veteran and have him do sports next to a Vietnamese anchor and not expect him to say F, MF, S, and every other thing. Now,
okay, so that was then, and he's not a Vietnamese, he's not a Vietnam veteran.
I didn't say he was Vietnamese.
He's not a veteran, so he's an American,
What, Vietnam veterans were not American? You gotta slow down.
Don, I'm gonna hang up on your dumb ass in about 2 seconds if you don't listen to me. Now, I'm saying that, what happened?
He hung up.
Phil, you called him a dumbass.
Well, he is, okay? He is. He's dumb, oh baby, is he dumb?
Well, he's trying to explain it to you.
Look, I don't need him telling me that it's 1973 and A.J. Clement is a Vietnam veteran and he's standing next to a Vietnamese anchor and so naturally he's going to say MFF and everything else and he's going to sue the station until their great-great-great-grandchildren bleed from every hole. That's what he said he'd do. Don Berman, if he were a lawyer, he'd probably be in jail. And if you're listening, Don, that's exactly what I just said. You'd be in jail and about half of your clients, too. But that's not the case. This is a young man who is not a Vietnam veteran. It's the year 2013. And just because he's standing next to a Vietnamese-American, you know, every time I see a Vietnamese-American, I think, what an amazing story.
Oh, Daddy's going to tell one of his Americana stories now.
Yeah, maybe Daddy is, huh? I think it's amazing. I'm watching a football game not too long ago, and there, playing middle linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys, was a young man of Vietnamese descent. Vietnamese-American. Now, the reason why I point that out is there was a time when you could have said that to someone, say, you know, the children of these folks will be playing in professional football, and say, they're not big enough. Everybody used to say how small the South Vietnamese were, you know, the South Vietnamese people were. And here's a guy, he's a middle linebacker. And the story of a war-ravaged people, refugees, coming here and making not only a home for themselves, but beginning a successful generations of Americans, I think that's the kind of stuff I could just cry, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and that's why you're always going to be one of the also-rans in this business, because you're blubbering. Now, you listen to me, Phil, don't you? You sit around blubbering and crying over Vietnamese. I think it's wonderful, too, Phil. My hat is off to them. My God, if it did any good, I'd take my clothes off to them.
Yeah, that'd send them back to Vietnam, and then ow!
But that is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about you sitting there and blubbering like a woman. Now, don't you dare.
Margaret.
Don't you dare. I'm talking. I know you're a sensitive man. I know you care about people. But you sit there and snivel on about Vietnamese and a skyrocket that went the wrong way. My God, meanwhile, guys like Glenn Beck, A.J. Clement, and David Letterman are up the ladder higher than you. And guess what they're doing? What do you smell? That's...
It's true.
That's so adult.
I'm telling you, Glenn Beck is two rungs above you on the ladder, and he stopped long enough to...
Let one go.
Okay, so they're not only ahead of me on the ladder of life, they're also farting just to kind of let me...
Yeah, just so you can really enjoy the journey.
Okay, all right. I still like who I am.
Well, aren't you something? You know what? The Padre will punch your ticket for you, Phil, on the way out. You check with him. I'm talking about winning at all costs. I'm talking about you, Phil Henry, winning at all costs. You know what? It reminds me of a song.
Oh, God.
No, I'm sorry, it does. And it goes something like this. When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. Wait, you see?
No, I don't see. What's that got to do with a guy making it in life?
You go downtown. Never mind.
Go downtown and get laid.
That's right. You go downtown and find...
All right,
I don't understand at all, man. Talk about go downtown, get laid.
You know, I was planning on having Don in here and talking, and now I got to listen to you jackasses telling me about going downtown and getting laid. That's how I get ahead in life, huh?
Well, that's how you'd get ahead.
All right, we'll be right back with more in this just fantastic night of news and information. We find out that A.J. Clement, if he was a Vietnam veteran, but he's not. So we didn't find out anything about A.J. Clement. We didn't find out anything about Letterman. We didn't find out anything here about, next up, it's the story of the best man who fatally stabs the bride that he was the best man at the wedding. He stabbed her. Get a load of that, man. What a world. What a life. World famous Phil Hendry Show. PhilHendryShow.com.
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
When you're alone and life is making you own, and you can always go. Woo, down.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll get back to, we got a discussion here of this incident in North Carolina. But if you're looking at Phil TV right now, as our friend Johnny Bean just messaged us, A, the video is working fine on the mobile, so that's great. But he also said that our shot of Hollywood, that big guitar is actually... That big guitar is what? That is... it's the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yes, that's the Hard Rock Cafe. Now, that right there, just underneath that, if you see... Do you see... I don't know if you can see this, Phil, or not. Do you see what looks to be an opening? Do you see the opening?
Do I see the opening?
Yeah, I see an opening, but not the one you're thinking... Ow!
I'm telling you, either you do something about it, or I will.
Now, why is everything speeding up while we speeded up the video? Yes. You mean the promenade?
Yes, that's the promenade. And those are palm trees. And that's where you go from Highland down to Hollywood Boulevard if you want to walk on the boulevard. And you may remember the song by Jackson Browne, On the Boulevard, do-do-do-do. You remember that?
Yeah, that was about, I think, Orange County.
What are you talking about? You are high on all kinds of fumes, if you believe that.
Yes, I do believe it, because that's what he said, man. When he wrote that song, he was talking about growing up in Orange County.
What street in Orange County are you going to walk down the boulevard on and feel cool?
Yeah, what's that? Beach Boulevard? Only thing that's there is a Disneyland.
I don't know, wherever he grew up.
Are you telling me you don't believe that's Hollywood Boulevard?
No, I do not believe he was singing about Hollywood Boulevard, no. I think he was singing about where he grew up in Orange County. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm willing to bet money on that. How corny. What a cornball thing singing about Hollywood Boulevard.
Phil, that's where dreams are made.
Not by 1975, Hollywood Boulevard was a toilet. By 1975, even by the late 60s, Hollywood Boulevard was a scary toilet. And it's only within the last 10 years or so that they've cleaned it up. They got that beautiful theater there. They have the pedestrian traffic, and everybody has a ball, and they get their little T-shirts, and they do what they want to do. It's a nice tourist area, okay? I mean, that's what people come to Hollywood Boulevard so they can see,
Well, what are they? They're not going to see any movie stars.
There you go. There you go. You just answered the question.
Well, what are you talking? What do you mean?
She just said you're not going to see movie stars. You ain't been able to see a movie star on Hollywood Boulevard in years.
You just said movie start, so you blew it.
Yeah, okay, I really butchered that up. The fact is, they got the Walk of Fame. They have all the stars. You can go and look at a movie. You can, I don't know. You know what else they got?
But they got like T-shirts and stuff.
Yeah, there's a bunch of places you buy T-shirts and those license plates and stuff like coffee mugs. And there's Hollywood kind of crap, man. So you can look at the best thing is probably the stars on the Walk of Fame. But he's not gonna. What a cornball song! Ooh, Hollywood. But nobody's written a song about Hollywood Boulevard in so long, man. And thank God they haven't, cause it's corny.
So you're telling me he wrote it about Orange Thorpe? Yeah.
I didn't say Orange Thorpe. It's some boulevard down in Orange County. All right, folks. Here's the story. Very disturbing. Very weird. Something we'll see on Investigation Discovery, I'm sure. Something that we'll see Keith Morrison doing with that Peter and the Wolf voice of his.
I know Keith Morrison. He's a lovely man.
He's a terrific reporter, but he's got that voice, you know. Ooh, down there in the valley.
Well, why would you say he'd narrate Peter and the Wolf?
Because it would scare the crap out of any kid that listened to it.
Daddy, have him do Peter and the Wolf.
In any event, In 2009, Jonathan Wayne Broyhill served as the best man at Jamie Kirk Hahn and Nation Richard Hahn's wedding. The former best man was arrested today for fatally stabbing the bride and wounding her husband at a home in North Carolina. According to the Huffington Post, Broyhill, 31, was charged today with the murder of Jamie Hahn, age 29. Broyhill also allegedly stabbed Nation, the surviving husband. Nation survived the attack, obviously. Hahn's family said in a statement, "We lost a beautiful and loving wife, daughter, and friend. We all lost a pure and brave spirit. She had a gift for bringing us together." What the hell? I can't even read this.
Well, why not?
I can't read a statement that has been released by a family following the murderous rampage of a piece of garbage like this. I don't want to read that now. Read that at the wedding.
Phil, this is a family reacting to the loss of their daughter.
They should be pissed off. I shouldn't tell them how to feel. Only they know how to feel. Police did not release a motive for the attack, but did say that the stabbing was not domestic related. What does that mean?
Probably they didn't, she wasn't having no affair or nothing.
Domestic, not having an affair. Rawl, what is W? It's a small R. I guess it's the TV station. WRAL reports, citing people close to the case, that Broyhill was having dinner with the Hahns on Monday night. Nation left the room for a few minutes, and when he returned, he reportedly found his former best man stabbing his wife. Nation goes on Twitter now. This is the man, Nation Richard. In any event, he wrote on Twitter, "I lost my best friend last night. The sadness is overwhelming. I want to thank everyone for prayers for Jamie. That type of community spirit defined Jamie. I have no idea what I'm going to do without her. She was my center, my rock, my soulmate." Jamie and Nation Hahn were well known in the Raleigh community. Jamie ran Sky Blue Strategies, a firm that raised funds for nonprofit groups and political campaigns. Representative Brad Miller, who worked with Jamie and Sky Blue, said Jamie was smart, likable, energetic. All I'm reading are these testimonials, bud.
Yo, what do you want me to do, man? It's that what he was saying.
I want to find out about the whole, what this guy, this piece of crap was that did this. Then he tried to kill himself, this Broyhill. He's currently in the hospital recovering from self-inflicted wounds. Police said that they'll be charging him with the murder of Jamie Hahn. I hope so. I ain't going to say what I'm thinking.
What are you thinking?
I'm not saying what I'm going to think. I'm not saying what I am thinking.
Not what you're going to think. What are you thinking now?
I'm not saying.
All right, what are you going to think?
I ain't saying. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Maybe I'll say, but I ain't going to say it now.
Phil Hendry.
Back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And for those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD, you will see behind me, this is the El Pacifico. This is a view of the beach area from the top of our studios here. And you're looking out across the Santa Barbara Channel there, and that little fluttering of lights there on the horizon is a oil platform.
Yes, that is absolutely... I don't know why you highlight that. That's obscene.
No, Margaret, we've had this discussion before, okay? Those oil platforms have been out there for a long time, and they're not killing any ducks, so don't worry about it.
Well, there are no ducks out there, but there are sea lions. Oh.
Yeah, and they're not killing them either.
Oh! Ow!
Well, they will. I think it's only a matter of time before those oil platforms murder. Yes, I use the word murder. Murder every whale, every sea lion, everything that swims and breathes air. Everything with lungs under the water, in other words. Right? Why are you looking at me like that?
What's your point? What's your point? I mean, it doesn't kill other kinds of fish?
The ones with lungs are the ones that we... I'm talking about whales. They are like humans, aren't they?
Yeah, they're mammals.
They're mammals. That's all that they're like.
Whales, everyone knows that whales, dolphins, and I don't know what other kind, smelt.
Smelt?
Well, what other kind of fish is like us?
Yeah, probably a whale, dolphin, and a seal.
That's not a fish, is it?
No, a seal is not a fish. Neither is a whale, neither is a dolphin. Those are mammals.
Well, they're fish.
No, they're not fish. No, they're not fish. They're whales and they're dolphins. Okay?
Why do you insist on being stubborn? Do they swim in the ocean?
Yes.
Do they have fins?
Yes.
And they're not fish?
No, they're not fish. They're not fish. Now,
You know, you're so arrogant. No,
Well, that's me. I'm arrogant. I tend to be arrogant when I have, you know, like 2 + 2 = 4. Wow, how arrogant. Anyway, welcome back to the show, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A little bit of news to get to. Not big news, but it might be interesting to...
You gotta put yourself back on a Phil TV.
Oh, sorry. Might be interesting. Human-computer Shakuntala Devi. That's right, that was her name. She has passed on. She was 83 years of age. When she was playing a game of cards at the age of 3, Shakuntala Devi's lion tamer father realized she had a gift for numbers. By age 5, she was a math wizard and traveled with her father's circus, winning fame for her astounding calculations. Devi, known as the human computer, died on Sunday in Bangalore, India, due to a respiratory and cardiac problem, according to the New York Times. She was 83 years of age. Devi toured Europe in 1950, and in one incident aired on the BBC, her solution to a math problem was different from her interviewer's answer. It turned out she was correct.
So she was guessing the answer to a problem.
Yes, and the television show, which had the answer, or they thought they had the answer, their answer was actually wrong. She gave the right answer. In 1977, she extracted the 23rd root of a 201-digit number in 50 seconds, famously beating a UNIVAC computer that performed the same calculation in 62 seconds. So she beat, at that time, 1977, the standard big badass computer that was used by the government, the UNIVAC, which was developed, I think, in the 50s or 40s. I'm going to read that again. She extracted the 23rd root.
Well, that's...
Is that FCC?
Why would that be FCC? Because of the word root?
Yeah.
What is it with you guys in root?
Because of the...
You don't... There might be...
Never mind. You know, God, no, there's no FCC problem. And the fact is, it's the root, the square root of something. You remember that from math? The 23rd root of a 201-digit problem, a 201-digit number in 50 seconds. She beat a UNIVAC computer that performed the same calculation in 62 seconds. Devi entered the Guinness Book of World Records after multiplying 2 13-digit numbers in a total of 28 seconds, a time that included voicing the entire 26-digit solution. Now, just keep that in mind. 2 13-digit numbers.
Okay. So that'd be like 1, 2, 3.
Bud, we're not going to do it here, okay?
1, 2, 3. I'm just going to do it to myself.
Okay.
I got it.
Will you get out of here? You got nothing.
What?
There were 2 13-digit numbers.
Okay, and what's the answer?
0.
What were the numbers?
0000.
You freak.
Well, you said I couldn't do it, and I did. Maybe that's what she did. You don't know if that it was a cheating or not.
2 13-digit number, they're all 0. Of course, that's the easiest one you can do.
Well, Phil said I shouldn't do it.
I didn't know you were going to be multiplying 2 13-digit numbers that were zeros. And no, she didn't do that, man, obviously.
If they were zeros and it took her 28 seconds, what an idiot.
Well, then I'd have to say there's something wrong with her mind.
Margaret, I can pretty much assure you that the two numbers that she multiplied weren't 26 zeros. According to American researcher Arthur Jensen, Devi found the cube root of 61,629,875. The cube root of that, and the seventh root of 170,859,375, and gave the correct answers of 395 and 15 before Jensen's wife could start the stopwatch.
Oh, this has got to be horse dung.
No, this is why they called her the human computer. In the same study published in 1990, Jensen noted that unlike popular conceptions of autistic savants, Devi comes across as alert, extroverted, affable, and articulate. For Devi, he said ability with numbers was like a native language, whereas for most of us, arithmetic calculation is at best like the foreign language that we learned in school. So, in other words, imagine speaking English the way we do now.
Yes.
And then imagine speaking Spanish, the language you took in school.
I didn't take it at school.
Yeah, I can see where this is going.
Yeah, see, you blew it. You blew it.
I didn't blow anything. Anybody that took a language in school, okay?
Well, I'm not saying you blew it.
Yeah, he didn't mean that dirty.
I know he didn't mean it dirty. I didn't take I took a language in school.
Well, you took Latin. That doesn't count.
I took Latin because that's what they said doctors would... I thought I was going to be a doctor one time, folks. When I was a freshman in high school, I took Latin, which was the biggest waste of time. I don't give a damn what anybody tells you. Latin's a waste of time, okay? Yeah, okay, great. Now I know the root of this and that and something else and the declensions and everything else. It, you know, but I took this Latin, and other people were taking Spanish and French, and that's what I should have taken.
Well, if you'd taken Spanish and French, do you think you'd be fluent in Spanish or French?
If I'd taken Spanish, yeah, because I live in California. There's a lot of Spanish that's spoken here. It's a language you can use. It's a language you can use in everyday conversation. There's not too many places you go around here where you don't have the opportunity to speak Spanish. And instead, what do? I take Latin like a jackball. And what language did you take, bud?
Yeah, man, what did you take?
Russian.
You didn't take Russian.
Well, I would have if they...
In any event, folks, so there's the story. We also want to come back with Richard Branson, who's Virgin America is encouraging high-flying flirting. That's right. The Mile High Club is now all about flirting. We'll find out what that's about. And then we also want to get to this story. In fact, I think I'm going to read this next. This baby that was sold on Facebook. Are you ready for that? A kidnapped baby sold on Facebook. Now, was it actually sold, or was the guy threatening to sell it?
Well, he wasn't saying, I'm going to sell a baby on Facebook, you better come and get it. I think he sold it.
Well, in Facebook, you got some big problems. You got worse problems than Craigslist.
Well, not really. They didn't kill a baby, they just sold it.
I think that's pretty bad. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Join us. Be a member of our Backstage Pass family. As we like to say, after drugs comes the BSP. That's the only next logical step. Get a Backstage Pass and immerse yourself in the world of audio entertainment from the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and it's only going to get more varied. It's only going to get deeper. We're only going to pilot higher and deeper, man. As the months go by, we're planning a daily 2-hour podcast. We're planning a return of the phone call format. We're planning a video podcast. We already have the Bobby Dooley podcast, as you know. And for those of you who are BSPs, you've noticed that we have a daily classic podcast. So the classic podcast, by the way, which was a free offering on iTunes, we've now put it behind a paywall, and it's for our Backstage Pass members only. And that is a slice o' life from our archives daily. So get a Backstage Pass, $9.99 a month. You're not going to get a better entertainment deal anywhere, period. All right, a businessman in India was recently caught as he attempted to buy a stolen baby on Facebook. Figure, what's wrong with buying it, you know?
What do you mean, what's wrong with buying it?
Who's the person trying to sell it? That's what I'd like to find out.
Yeah, but you don't want to buy it.
Maybe I'm buying it because I'm a cop. Maybe I'm buying it because I want to save the baby. Anyway, the man paid 800,000 rupees.
That's real, huh?
Yeah, I was going to ask, is that real?
Is what real?
Rupees.
Yeah, it's real.
Well, it sounds like it's from a cartoon, you know, the rupees.
No, it's real. 800 rupees. Or approximately 14,000, or it's not 800, 800,000 rupees. The man paid 800,000 rupees, or approximately $14,749. Approximately, that sounds pretty specific to me, for the child.
Now, what's the going rate? I don't mean going rate.
The going rate?
Yeah, well, I can look it up.
Where are you going to look up the going rate for a baby?
Well, I'm sure this... I didn't mean to say going rate. What I meant was, what are they getting for baby... Well...
Yeah, what do they get for a baby?
I don't know what they get for a baby, and you're not going to be able to look that up, do you think?
Oh, I'm sure you can. But look up baby...
Fire sale?
Not fire sale, no.
Fire sale?
About a baby... Look up baby for sale.
Yes, look up baby for sale. See what the... If there's any prices at all.
Can I just say something?
Excuse me, Phil, I'm talking to Bud. Do you mind?
No, not at all. Go ahead.
See what they're getting for babies, and then price out the ones that are brands. When I say brand spanking new.
Yeah, newborn.
Yes, as opposed to a...
Would that be a used model, like a year old?
Well, it's an older model.
Are you listening to what you people are saying here?
Do you mind? So price out the...
Give me that, Bud. You're actually looking up baby for sale.
That's what she said.
Good luck.
What if he finds the price?
Then I'm going to guarantee you this much. It's either, if it's under baby for sale, it's a joke. Anyway, the grandfather told his daughter, now you know how many people are out there right now Googling baby for sale? According to local authorities, Faraz Khan kidnapped his grandson from the boy's mother in Ludhiana, Punjab, India. The grandfather told his daughter that her child was stillborn. The grandfather then sold the baby to a nurse who sold the child to a lab technician. The lab technician, Gupreet Singh, followed up the kidnapping by posting a picture of the three-day-old boy on Facebook, and eventually Amit Kumar offered to purchase the newborn. So let's just get this straight now. The baby was kidnapped by the grandfather from the mother. The grandfather told his daughter the kid was stillborn, so the woman doesn't know to report the baby missing. He then sells the baby to a nurse. She sells the baby to a lab technician. The lab technician follows up the kidnapping by posting a picture of the three-day-old on Facebook.
What do you mean kidnapping?
Because that's what they did. They kidnapped the kid.
Well, I'm down a bill of sale.
I was going to say, is there a bill of sale?
There's no such thing as buying babies. If there's a bill of sale, it's illegal. It's a kidnapping.
I understand. Phil, don't be high and mighty. I just wondered if the sale was recorded.
Yeah, it's like they have a plot map.
I'm going to belt you a plot map. Yeah, that's right. Go to the city hall or county, and they'll have a big book there where all the baby sales are recorded.
Well, they might have a picture of the fat kid. I don't know.
I'm surprised at you, Margaret.
Oh, don't talk. I'm trying to save a child's life by going the regular route, which would be either a plot map...
That's right, Margaret. We're going to go downtown and open up a book, and there's little pictures of fat babies in there, and that's the plot map. You must be nuts.
I'm not nuts. I'm nuts like I'm crazy like a nut.
Yeah, you're crazy like a nut. You've been crazy like a fox.
Crazy like a fox. That's what I am.
I think you need sleep. And if anybody's got a brain tumor, it's you, not me.
No. No, you're the one with the lump in the brain, not me, friend. Not me.
Yeah.
The lab technician then followed up the kidnapping by posting a picture of the three-day-old boy on Facebook. Eventually, businessman Amit Kumar offered to purchase the baby. All right. So the lab tech is the guy that got the top dollar, I would imagine, don't you think? Because he paid. The price goes up, or does it go down? The price goes down the further along the... I don't know. The baby's mother became suspicious when she saw a picture of the baby in the newspaper, tap dancing and twirling a parasol over his head. I'm kidding.
Let me see that.
No, I'm joking. The baby's mother became suspicious when her father gave her some of the cash from the sale. Dig that. So this guy, this grandfather, sells the baby, tells the mother, I'm sorry, the baby is stillborn. How the hell she didn't know that, but the grandfather did is anybody's guess. Maybe he was the doctor that delivered the baby. Maybe that's the tradition in India where the grandfather gets to see the kid first. I don't know what. He then has this pile of cash, and he gives the mother some of the money. Not all of it, some of it. And she's like, the baby's dead, and here's my father with a bunch of money. Shortly after realizing what had happened, police tracked down and arrested Khan. This is the grandfather, the one who originally sold it, Faraz Khan. the lab technician, Goop Gurput, or whatever the hell his name is.
It says Goop Gupta.
Goop to Singe.
Yeah, Singe.
It ain't Singe, it's Singh.
How do you know, Phil? I love how you know.
Because I knew a kid in high school. His name was Joe Singh, S-I-N-G-H.
Was he an Indian?
Yes, he was.
Joe Singh, are you kidding me?
No, the kid was an American Indian, not an American, he was an Indian guy from America, Joe Singh.
And he didn't have an accent.
Would you guys grow up? Shortly after realizing what had happened, police tracked down and arrested Khan, the grandfather, his accomplice, and both of the hospital employees who initially purchased the newborn child. So that would have been the nurse that the grandfather sold the baby to, and the lab technician, Gurpreet Singh, who then made the nice cash deal. It was straight cash, no checks, no money orders, to Amit Kumar, who offered to purchase the newborn. And I guess he's the guy that took the baby and...
Well, and that they needed a baby.
Yeah, they had to have one.
Yeah, they had to have one, huh? In any event, Kumar is also facing charges for his part in the purchase of the kidnapped baby. Kumar would be he's the businessman who was at the tail end of this this list of sales. According to police, Khan sold the baby because he wanted to arrange a second marriage for his daughter. The child's dad believed she would not find a new husband if she was already raising a child. The child's father abandoned his family before birth. God, look at twisted values, man. Jacked up values? Khan and the two hospital employees...
Well, Phil, it's India. They're very primitive there.
Yeah, they got a lot of people with the dot on the head.
Hey, man, India, they got a lot of evolved people there.
There are evolved people there, but India's got a lot of very impoverished areas, too. I told you that Maria went down there and was inoculating kids against polio. Did you hear about this one?
No.
My ex-wife went down there. She was working for the Rotary Club. And Rotary International has, you know, chapters everywhere, and they have chapters in India. And the American Rotary hooked up with the India Rotary to inoculate kids against polio because in the rural areas where there's a lot of Islamic people, and the local imams were telling the Muslim people in the really poor areas, don't allow your babies to be inoculated because it's the Westerners, it's the infidel trying to kill Muslims.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so the folks down there would not inoculate their children against polio, and there are still incidences of polio in India, and they're trying to eradicate it. They're trying to get rid of it. Also in Pakistan. And these imams who are, you don't know what to say about people like this. These are clerics. These are men of the cloth. You know, they belong in a jail cell, as far as I'm concerned. And so you got to go in there and fight that ignorance. And Rotary from India, using the help of the International Rotary, would go down there and talk to the village people and say, you don't understand, you know.
What do you mean village people?
You gotta talk about the village people?
Yeah, do they have a guy dressed as an American?
You shut up. They would go down and talk to the people of the village and say, listen, you really got to get this inoculation. We're not kidding. We're not trying to kill Muslims. You don't understand. Polio is very devastating. They have finally been able to make these inroads. So, yeah, it's a poor country. In some areas, it's an ignorant country. In some areas. All right, coming back in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the mile-high flirting of Virgin America. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I'm not buying it.
What's that?
A baby. Get it? I'm not buying the baby.
Whatever.
I'm not buying that baby either.
Let's see what this baby can do.
Phil Hendry.
Before you buy it?
Yes.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. So what is this?
This is a comment on the baby selling. It's a song I want to sing. Just hold on. If you could talk to a child, that's what we don't have. There's our communication with babies. Hey, baby.
Oh, would you come on?
Excuse me. I want to know what's the going rate? You see?
You can't do that.
Hey! Baby! Hey, baby! You, baby, yeah. Wanna know? What are you asking? See?
No, I don't see. Turn it off, will
you? How dare you do that? You pulled down the music before I got into the meat of it.
Yeah, I'll say you got into the meat of it. Uh-oh.
Man, but one of these days, you know, you're going to be... We're going to have to hospitalize you. You take so many shots during a show. I mean, you're worse than, like, Joe Frazier. You just lean... You lean right into it, don't you?
Well, that's what they call me smoking bud.
Yeah, I'll bet you're smoking bud.
No, they call me smoking bud. I'm smoking bud.
No, but I think you are smoking bud.
Okay, fine, but they call him smoking bud.
Yes.
Like smoking bud.
No, like smoking Joe Frazier.
That was my point. Not that he's smoking bud, but anyway, thank you very much for that, Margaret.
Well, I didn't have time to finish it because... Hey, baby, I want to know, what price are you fetching this week? Dan looked it up.
Get out of here, will you please?
Hold on, Phil. Dan looked it up and he said the going rate for a baby is $15,000 to $25,000. So, that's when I want to say, come on, baby, hop in the sack. I think we can get our money back.
Oh, yeah. Get out of here.
Well, Phil, I think it's worth a shot because if this is an epidemic of baby... Of baby.
An epidemic of baby what?
No, an epidemic of baby.
Yeah. Because, if you think about it, Mr. Henry, if you need to stop this from happening, you've got to get the word out to the public, and the only way you're going to do that is if you make it as clear and understandable as possible.
And so I tell the public it's an epidemic of baby.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're going to say baby stealing, because it's too squirreled out.
Yeah, it's real squirrely.
I'll tell you what's real squirrely, the three of you.
That is dirty pool right there. That's not fair. That was uncalled for.
No, you're squirrely, just like these two. You guys, all three of you guys, man, when the winter rolls around next year, you better hide, because the squirrels will be out looking for a choice specimen like you, all three of you.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Well, I'm telling you, if you idiots are saying that we've got an epidemic of baby is going to resonate... The fact of the matter is, baby theft, baby selling, anything having to do with the selling of children is an abomination. That's an absolute... It's kidnapping. You heard the story. So don't quit making jokes about it.
I'm not making a joke. I'm working hard to stop it. You're sitting there criticizing everything.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, it's pretty easy for you to go, well, that's wrong, and this is wrong, and that's wrong, too.
Yeah, you tell him, bud.
Oh, yeah, you tell him, bud.
Yeah, I'm serious. Miss Gray's trying to come up with ideas, and all you're doing is going, well, I don't know. I think that maybe we should try this.
All I was saying...
No, all you're saying going, well, I don't think you should.
Yes, and I'm trying to do the very best I can. And when I say we've got an epidemic of baby, I mean baby thievery.
Then say it. Don't say epidemic of baby.
Why not? Are you afraid you're not smart enough to know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I am.
What's that mean?
It means I'm afraid I'm not smart enough to know what you're talking about. If you're talking about baby theft, baby robbing, trafficking in children, say it. I don't know what epidemic of baby means. It sounds to me like a bunch of people are having babies.
What? That don't make no sense.
It's the only thing that's been said tonight that makes sense. Epidemic of baby. All right.
What about babies calling me home by Steve?
Never mind. So there's that kid now. How about that, man? According to police, this guy sold the baby because he wanted to arrange a second marriage because he was afraid his daughter, she wasn't going to fetch a husband because she had a kid already. What a sad tale, baby. Excuse me for saying baby. Khan and the two hospital employees could face up to 7 years in prison. Boy, I think they ought to stick their ass in prison. But how do you stick a guy in prison who's too dumb to know? You know what I mean? And this is the little speech I give that everybody says, now what exactly are you talking about, Phil, when you mean tribal as opposed to law? A country like India, which is older than the democracy that governs it, much, much, much older, is more controlled in a lot of ways by tribal custom than it is by law. So you can say to them, well, here's the law, you can't sell children, and they'll look at you with a dumb stare because that's not the way it's been for thousands of years. You don't get it, man. You come in here and you pass a law, that's fine. And we know that we'll probably run afoul of the police, but the fact of the matter is, culturally, tribally, we sell babies. In America, because law is everything, because we do not bow to the tribal custom in this country, we don't bow to the ancient cultural trends or beliefs. We have them, and we're allowed to have them, but they don't supersede the law, and we have learned this as Americans. That's what makes us unique and different from other people in the world. We don't have any deep-seated tribal or cultural pulls or ties that would make us ignore law or tend to break the law and be more loyal to a tribe or a cult or a family. We believe in law, and that's what we have our primary allegiance to.
Well, what about people that are religious?
Even religiously in America, people who are religious, and I consider myself to be religious, we still recognize that the law has to be obeyed. And so that's what makes this country different, I think, superior to others. We don't have these... we're not saying, well, I know it's against the law to sacrifice kittens, but my religion calls for it, and we've been doing it for 3,000 years, so throw another kitten on the fire.
That's not funny at all, Phil.
Well, I don't know. I'm not throwing a kitten on the fire. I'm just saying. So in this country, in India, where baby selling has probably been going on for a long time, or getting rid of baby, I don't know what the hell it is, man. It's weird, it's freaky, and it's the past, and it's not the future, and thank God I'm an American.
Yay.
All right. So here's the story. This is Virgin America, and it's Richard Branson, a guy that, you know, he's a fascinating guy, Branson. Man, every time this guy turns around, he's pulling some kind of weird thing out of his slacks.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know. That's between him and... Anyway, you want to start a romantic relationship? Well, then you better fly Virgin America. I've flown Virgin America. It's a fantastic... By the way, they're not a sponsor, are they?
I don't know. If they are a sponsor, you better not say anything bad.
Well, look, if they're a sponsor, I don't want to say anything at all.
No, they're not a sponsor.
Because I don't want anybody thinking that I'm getting paid for this. This is not paid. I'm just saying, I've flown Virgin America. It's a damn good airline. In fact, if you look on the webpage or here on Phil TV in HD, there's a picture of me falling asleep in a Virgin America seat. And the reason I want to show this to you, it's because it's purple. The light on my face is purple. I don't know if anybody sees this. You see that?
Yes.
That's the lighting in the cabin. When you walk into on board a Virgin America jet, they have this kind of bluish lighting, bluish purple lighting that's very relaxing. It's not that stark, ugly ass, bright, stinky ass. You know, it's like you get on any jetliner in this country, and there's this bling, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be seated.
And you're just about ready to just start swinging. You might have come on in a really good mood, but.
Please sit down.
The lights are on and the thing and her and it's hotter than hell and, you know, Virgin America, what they do is they try to make it, you know, like it's a comfortable deal.
Well, you look like you've, I don't want to say, but you look almost like you're in a coma.
I probably was in a coma.
Who took that picture?
So a friend of mine took the picture, but I was asleep and you get on the airplane and you immediately you're just chilling out, man. It's so nice. Same thing with the gate. When you go to the gate, when you go to get your ticket at Virgin America, everything is just, it's a completely different experience. They've got somebody standing there. It's like they almost want to be as far away from all the other people as they can, all the other ticket counters. So here we have, and this is all Branson's touch, here we have Virgin America has unveiled new technology that will make mile-high flirting as easy as pushing a button or, you know, a digital screen. The new service is based off the airline's existing Red on-demand food ordering system. The what? I never saw that before.
Well, Phil, it's probably first class.
Really? Well, I have flown first class.
Well, what, are you going to try and lord it over people?
No, I'm just saying, I would...
Yeah, you shouldn't mention that, Mr. Annie. People think you're big shot.
Okay, I've never flown first class.
Well, now they don't believe you.
Anyway, the new service is, I swear to God, one of these days when the show ends, I'm going to turn around and kill everyone in the studio. I really am.
Oh, stop clowning.
I'm clowning, but I'm telling you, I'm getting to the point now where I'm going to let the show just go its course. Then when the show is over, I'll turn the camera off, and then I will open up. with some kind of an automatic weapon and kill every Christian soul in this studio.
Including yourself?
No, I don't believe in that. I believe in living, allowing myself to live and glory in my deed.
What a sick animal you are.
That's me. The new service is based off the airline's existing Red On Demand food ordering system that I guess you have to sit in first class to know about. And no, I have never sat in first class, even though I had, but I don't want you to think I'm lording it over you. That isn't exactly mile-high flirting, but don't worry, Sir Richard Branson has a solution. The new service will also allow you to send text messages to the people around you. How creepy.
Why is that creepy?
I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of, what if you just, I don't know. Not that I would like to send a message, but what if, like, your girlfriend gets a message? Or just all of a sudden, you know, what if some creep, if you're a woman, and some creep texts you, and you don't want his attention?
Well, you don't have to open it up, Phil.
All right. I mean, what if you're a woman, you're flying by yourself, and you're just going from point A to point B, you just want to get home, you know?
Well, you shouldn't fly on Virgin America.
Bull crap. That's not, no. No. You should be, it should be optional. So she's sitting there, and she just wants to get home, and now some creep sitting two rows back is bugging her with texts.
Well, I would say don't read them. Don't open them up.
Well, as long as they have that action, that option, that would be great.
See, you just said action, so that's a Freudian slip. To you, it's exciting, it's exhilarating. You say creep, but you'd likely be the creep texting some poor woman trying to adjust her headphones, sweating, wishing she was home with her husband and baby, and you're bugging her.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
Oh, I see. So once I actually gave you the whole formulation as to the problem, I'm the guy. Great.
Well,
we'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, look, what a baby.
No, I'm not being a... Tonight might be the night, folks. It might be the night. I'm just gonna... Although I don't have an automatic weapon, how about if I just use water balloons or something?
How dare you, so you can see through my blouse?
Yes. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I'm the creep.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I don't think you should bring it up.
Well, why? I mean, I think I should bring it up.
You're going to make someone angry. What are you talking about, make them angry?
I'm talking about, Dan and I were talking during the break here on the world-famous Phil and B Show. There are some guys, I'm not talking to anybody in particular, but there are some guys, there's some men, that follow women, they bug them, they talk to them, even beyond the point of whether the woman's interested or not. They'll just keep bugging them and keep bugging them. I don't know what kind of psychology is at work there. I used to hear this. My girlfriend would say back, you know, a couple, 3 years ago, she'd be going into Starbucks. She'd come back and she'd say to me, boy, this guy at Starbucks. I said, what? He kept saying, hey, how you doing? What are you doing tonight, huh? You want to go out, huh? Hey, you got a nice ass. Hey, you're real pretty. In other words, saying stuff that you know and I know they would never say if there was a man standing there with them. And the reason why I say that is simply because I've never heard that when I've been out with someone. I've never heard any guy talk to any woman that I'm with, and I'm not saying that I'm a formidable, badass-looking guy. I'm just saying by virtue of the fact I'm just a man, I haven't heard that kind of talk. And yet I've heard them come back, not just one girlfriend, but, you know, any woman that I've ever been with in my life, including my wife, will come back to the house or wherever with a story about having been flipped off, called a name, followed around, been talked to in a vulgar way by men. Now, the reason why I'm shocked is because I have never seen or heard that behavior in that manner. I've heard guys talk that way about women. You know, I've heard I've heard all kinds of talk about women, but I've never heard men address themselves to women that way. Very rarely. I mean,
like when?
I don't know. I mean, I've heard some guys when they get in the company of other men. And maybe it's a bar or it's some social interaction of some kind. They get enough drinks in them, they'll say something. It may not be the most polite thing. I don't recall it ever being hostile. But the whole reason why I'm saying this is that I don't know why some guys act like that. I don't know what their problem is. I suspect it's hostile. You know, they, in other words, they don't really want a woman. They don't think they're going to get a woman's positive attention. They think that they're well past that in their lives. Maybe they're angry, they're pissed off, and they want to say something really hostile and insulting to a female, and so they do, you know. And I think that that's really a bad thing. It's a dangerous thing for a woman to have to endure that by herself. And so, not saying anything, I'm not trying to be Big Daddy here, but I, you know, if your woman is out by herself at night, you might as well just face the facts, Jack, that wherever she is, she's going to take some kind of lip from some guy, you know, and if she's with her girlfriends, there's no question it's going to happen. No question. Some chicks are followed. Some of these creeps follow them. I've never been able to understand that at all. I've never been able to understand these guys that stalk women. What is your problem, man? And you think, well, probably the best thing for that guy, the best thing you can do for a guy like that is just to beat him within an inch of his life, or to the point where he realizes, geez, if I keep hanging around, you know, bothering her, I'm probably going to wind up dead at some point.
Yeah, well, God, they ain't going to take that for no for an answer either, man. Because my sister, she got stalked by this guy. This guy kept coming and coming. My brother beat the hell out of him. Okay, my brother-in-law?
Yeah.
He beat this guy down, beat him down. And the guy would just kind of go, yeah, thanks very much. Thank you.
What do you mean, thanks very much, thank you?
He'd come out and say, hey, is Rebecca here? That's my sister's name, right?
Yeah.
And her husband there is Luke. And he said to him, Lucas said, you're the guy coming around stalking her. Then he beat him up. And the guy, after he got beat up, would be laying on the ground saying, okay, thanks a lot. And he'd crawl away.
Get out of here, crawl away.
I swear to God.
Your brother-in-law would beat up some guy that was stalking your sister.
Yes.
And then the guy would crawl away and say, thanks a lot.
Yeah, and come back. And then my brother-in-law would kick his ass again. And he'd go, okay, thank you. Do you know what time should be home? And he'd kick his ass. He'd say, all right, thanks a lot.
You're kidding, right?
No. He'd say, hey, is Rebecca here? He'd get his ass kicked. He'd say, oh, okay, well, what time will she be home? Get his ass kicked some more. He'd say, all right, I'll call back at that time. Get his ass kicked some more. Thank you. Get his ass kicked some more.
Well, that is weird.
Not only is it weird, I ain't buying it. Hi, is Rebecca here? Gets his ass kicked. Okay, thank you. Gets his ass kicked.
That's probably what you ought to do.
I'll tell you what, if you beat a guy down that much and he comes back a second time, you do have a problem, you know. You do have a problem. But I figure I don't know the psychology of these guys. I know there's something having to do with mama, you know. But if a cat does not even take a severe beating as warning enough, then there's trouble in River City, man. You know that sooner or later you're probably going to have to kill the guy, have the cops kill him or something, you know. But I figure that, I'm not recommending breaking the law, but let me put it to you this way. If there's a restraining order and a guy violates the restraining order, yes, you should call the cops. But you know what? Cops take a while to get there. And who knows what this guy's trying to do in the meantime, so...
Well, now you're recommending taking the old baseball bat solution, and I don't approve of that.
I didn't say anything other than the following thing.
No, I know what you said, Phil. You're saying, and remember, guys, it's going to take the cops a while to get there, so go ahead and get the bat out.
Well, you can stand around and do nothing while Creepsoid is bugging her, or you can do something.
Yeah, you got to beat his brains in.
Why not, man? If the guy is violating a court order, a restraining order, he's violating this thing. He's now within this restraining order, and the cops have been called, but they're rolling to the scene. And meanwhile, this creep is there, and he's not supposed to be there. And it's, you know, there's a reason why you have a restraining order, to keep some creep away from her. Isn't that self-defense?
I think it is, ma'am.
Yeah, but maybe his thing is Rebecca here? He gets his ass kicked, whatever you said.
Well, I'd say gets his ass kicked, or maybe he gets a baseball bat. I don't know. All right, guys, that's it for tonight. Dan Northcraft has been our co-producer. Thank you, Dan. I am Phil Hendry. I'm the producer. And you're the audience. And you're...
Bud Dickman.
You.
Robert Leonard.
And you're Margaret Gray.
Thank you.
And we will see you guys tonight. Don't forget, a backstage pass is your ticket to the wonderment, the glory, and, you know, the wonderful world of Oz, man. I mean, it's more than a backstage pass. It is, in point of fact... life support in this day and age of you know, comedy death. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be back tonight at 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern. And until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.